Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 14. Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 14. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is the gift of God. I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it, nothing taken away from it. God does it so that people will fear Him.
Good morning. Last night I was talking to a lady named Janice. She's an old friend of my mom's and also the real estate agent that's handling the sale of my mom's house right now. And she was talking about, you know, the open houses and dealing with people and offers and stuff. And she said to me, "Richard, timing is everything." And I said, "Well, that's interesting. You should say that's the title of my sermon tomorrow morning. Timing is everything." And it just struck me how in the life, so often that's the case. It so oftentimes is a matter of timing. And as we continue our study of Ecclesiastes today and the teacher's searching for the meaning of life, he kind of hits upon this idea of time and how it might relate to finding meaning or success in life under the sun. When I thought about timing, the first thing that came to my mind was actually baseball. I thought, what would it be like to stand at home plate and watch this ball coming at you at about 95 miles an hour, the speed of the ball, the movement of the ball, and there you are standing with this stick in your hand, and you're trying to hit it, and just trying to make contact with this sphere coming your way. And, you know, it's the bat speed and the angle of the bat and all that. And I thought, you know what? The really, really, really good hitters have success about 40% of the time. I mean, this is it may be even 30, really, but this is a hard thing to do, and it's a matter of timing, of timing it just right, so you get good contact and the ball flies, and then, of course, when it does fly, there's the timing when it comes to catching it, making that leap, and this is a pretty spectacular leap. I tip my hat to the Dodger and Angel fans here today, but, you know, with it just timing, making that leap just at that very moment. And when it comes to baseball, a lot of it, whether you win or lose, whether you're safe or you're out, it's about timing. In a lot of places in life, that is the case. You're at Disneyland. You're coming out of Mr. Toad's Wild Ride because you've always liked that. You don't know why, but ever since you were a kid, you liked Mr. Toad. And you're coming out, and there, walking right in front of you, is somebody that you haven't seen for 15 years. And you think, how in the world does this happen? And you walk up to them, and you reunite, and you have a great chat. And as you're talking about it, you think, you know, if it had been 10 seconds one way or the other, we would not have seen each other. We wouldn't have reconnected. And then the rest of the day, that drives you crazy because you wonder who else is at Disneyland that you haven't seen. And so, you know, it might, you know, kind of play with you a little bit. You're a young couple. You're getting ready to buy your first house. You get all the money you can together. Maybe you even borrow money from friends and family so you can make that down payment. And you buy that house. And you get a good deal. It's $250,000. It's a few years ago. It's California. They got the house for $250,000. That's a no-brainer, right? It's real estate. It's California. It goes up. But 5 years later, when this family has to move because the job changes locale, the bubble bursts and the house is worth $95,000. It's a matter of timing. Of course, maybe you're the guy who walks up with $95,000 and buys a house then. It's all a matter of timing. Sometimes, you know, you have that friend that tonight, I've got this neighbor, I've been meaning to talk to him for so long. I just to have a spiritual conversation, to invite him to the small group at our house, just to start down that pathway with him. I've gotten so close and I've put it off tonight. When I get home tonight, I am going to talk to my neighbor about the Lord. I'm going to talk to him about his soul. And you drive up that night and in front of your neighbor's house is the sign for sale and they move and you never see them again. Timing. Timing is everything. I was a teenager getting ready to go on a mission trip. That's what we called it anyway, to San Felipe, down in Baja. And we were getting ready to go, and it was time to leave, and it was past time to leave, and we were waiting, and we were getting answers, like, we need to get out of town, we need to get down, you know, south of the border, we don't want to miss any experience down there, but we couldn't leave. We had to wait. We had to wait, because there was somebody else who was supposed to show up, but they hadn't shown up yet. And we were kind of tired of waiting, because we didn't want to mess up our trip, and we wanted to get on our way. But the youth minister, who was kind of leading the trip, he and his wife and their kids, they were waiting for this niece of theirs to show up from out of town. And we didn't know when she was going to get there, and we were all getting pretty upset about waiting, when finally they said, "Ah, here they are," and the car pulled up, and Ellen got out. It's all a matter of timing. I think it's pretty good timing. She's still wondering about that. But it's timing. Timing is so important, and we want to get it right. We know that timing is important, and so we want to know, what does the future hold? What's coming down the road? Because I want to make a good decision today. I want to make a decision today that makes sense based on what may happen tomorrow. And we want this big picture. We want to have a view down the road so we can act in the right way and act specifically at the right time. Maybe if we knew the time to act and we acted decisively, therein would find success or meaning in our life. Well, the teacher, he knew the value of timing. The teacher in the book of Ecclesiastes. And even those who are completely unfamiliar with the Bible know the amazing poem that he writes about time. In chapter 3, it was made popular in the 60s as a song on the radio. Turn, 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 I think it was called. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the teacher says, you know, maybe it has to do with time and with timing. And this is what he says, chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, verse 1. There's a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn. And a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. This beautiful poem, 14 couplets, contrasting the different kinds of experiences that we have in life, and basically saying that's the nature of life. There is a time for everything. Every event at some point is appropriate. And he has since summarizes the full spectrum of human experience. And we know this. We've lived this. We've experienced these times. We know that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And at first, the poem just seems like some wise counsel. Look at your life. See the times. Understand what's going on. Act appropriately. Act knowing what time it is that you're in right now. Be sensitive to that. And that may open up meaning, or that may open up significance or success to you. But then the teacher comments on the poem. Words that our brother just read to us. He starts out by saying, what does the worker gain from his toil? I've seen the burden God has laid on men. And it seems like, well, wait a minute. You were just talking about the beauty of things and its time. And now you're talking about there's some sort of burden associated with this. How is this a burden on us? And he goes on to say, God, or he, has made everything beautiful in its own time. And God has. Everything is beautiful in its own time. Everything is appropriate in its own place. But he says he has also set eternity in the hearts of men. There is this desire we have to see beyond the present. There is a desire we have to see things from eternity's point of view, and even have a desire and an inkling of eternity itself within our hearts. But we're created that way. You want to know. You want to know what's coming down. You want to know how things are going to turn out. You want to see how your life fits in the big picture of things. God's made us that way. That's part of the way that we have been created. We want to understand things, in a sense, almost like God does. We want to see things from beginning to end and see where we are now and how we should act today based on where we are now and what time it is, and be sensitive to that. We have that desire to understand our place in the universe against this backdrop of time. But then the very next line is, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. We want to. We want to grasp, and we can't. There is a time for everything, and God has made everything beautiful in His time, that we can never know what time it is. We can never grasp it. We cannot on our own understand. And I think this is what the teacher is talking about when he says we've got this burden. Here is the human dilemma. God creates us as thinking beings who want to pass beyond our fragmentary knowledge that's bound by our limits where time and the future are concerned. We want to discern the meaning of everything and see it. And yet, we do not have the capacity to do so. I think the teacher has made this discovery, and he lives with the frustration and with the burden that it brings, because ultimately, as we would all confess, God's timing and God's sense of timing is beyond our understanding and our ability to comprehend or to investigate. And yet that's the very thing we want to know. It's the very thing we want to understand. And timing, as Janice, the real estate lady, said, is everything. I'm going to die. Unless the Lord returns, I'm going to die. And I might die today. I might die next week. I might die in a year. I might die in 25 years. I'm going to say 40, but I think that's pushing it. I'm going to die. I have no idea when. I might be able to plan out my life a little bit better and live with a little bit more wisdom if I knew when. If I knew how long. Wouldn't that change, for example, my whole investment strategy if I had one? Wouldn't that change things? Or how you're going to live your life if you knew the timing of event? We want to know the timing. And, there's that sense of knowing that has something to do with getting it right. There's a time to speak and a time to be silent, the teacher says. How many times have you spoken and then it turned out not to be the time to speak? How many times have you been silent and then you turned around later and figured out that was a time that you should have said something? There's a time to speak and a time to be silent, but so often we get it wrong. We just don't get it. When we were living in Kenya, our daughter Katie got really sick. She missed a half a year of school. She was very ill, and nobody could figure out. None of the doctors could figure out what was going on. And we didn't know what to do. We're there. We think, okay, we're here because we really believe God called us to this place and that we're in the very work that God has called us to do. And now we feel like there's some attack going on. Is this Satan trying to attack us? To get us to abandon what God has called us to do? Is God testing our faith to see if we will persevere in the view of this? Or is God saying, you need to get your daughter home and get her health issues taken care of? It's not happening. You're not getting it resolved here. What time is it? Is it a time to go? Or is it a time to stay? And you wish you could look down both futures, both possible futures, and see where it would take you so that at that moment you could make the decision that would be the best decision to make. But you and I cannot do that. It's in our hearts to long to do that. We want to know. We think if I only could know that, then I could decide here. But that information is kept from us. You've got this person in your life, and you just have this estranged, dysfunctional sort of relationship, and you keep reaching out to them, and every time it's like they metaphorically punch you in the face. It's very painful and abusive, but you keep trying and you keep reaching out and you think maybe this will be the time. And then something happens and you think, you know what? Do I do this one more time or am I done with it? Should I just say this relationship is severed, that it's gone? And then can I be sure of that decision, that it was the right time to make that move? You finish your schooling and you have plans for additional schooling, but then you get this job offer and it's like, well, is this a time to continue? Is this a time to change course? So you've got this job and you're not really particularly caring about it. And you think, maybe this is a time to launch out on my own. Is this a time to launch out? Is this a time to really be bold and take a decisive step? Or is the way the economy is, would it be better just to kind of calm myself and deal with, you know, dealing with something I don't find maybe quite as attractive? Or I've got a really good job, but then I get this opportunity, but I have to move halfway across the country. Is it a time to go? Is it a time to stay? So often we have these kinds of questions. And of course, the most difficult of them of all, is it a time to keep or is it a time to throw away? I cleaned out my garage Monday, or at least partially cleaned out my garage. I set limits of how far I was willing to go, given that I only had a single day. And I got into that, and you know how it is, if you've ever cleaned out a garage or, you know, whatever, your pantry or anything, it's like you're holding this thing in your hand and you haven't used it for 5 years and you're thinking, do I keep it or do I throw it away? And you know how it works. We all know how this works. If I keep it, I will not use it for the next 5 years. If I throw it away, next Tuesday I'm going to be out at Home Depot buying one because I'm going to need it for something that broke that I never knew. I don't need this wrench. Well, guess what? You will next week. We don't even know if it's a time to throw away or a time to keep. And you know, in bigger things, we have these issues about timing. I think of Jesus' disciples talking to him in the 13th chapter of Mark. And that, you know, he mentions about the temple not standing. And boy, they want to know all about it. And they're looking for the signs and all that. And Jesus talks to them at length about that. And finally, later in the chapter, remember, he says, you know what? Of that day and hour, no one knows, only the Father in heaven. It's like, guys, you're not getting this information. Sorry. And then in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Lord, is this the time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And what does he say? It's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has determined by his own authority. You don't get the big picture in that sense. You don't get all your questions answered. And in Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter talks about the prophets of the Old Testament and how they knew they were prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. And they longed to know and they tried to figure out, what time is this? When is this? How is this going to happen? And Peter says, God told them, you're never going to know. This is beyond you. This is for people coming later. And Peter even adds, even the angels wanted to know. Even the angels longed to look into such things, Peter says. And sometimes, you know, God knows and God's not telling. There are things that are beyond our understanding. And so you come back to the teacher's point of view in Ecclesiastes, and where does that leave you? Does that leave you with this sense of burden, a sense of despair? I'm always off. I never know. I throw it away. I mean, all of those things, and especially the major decisions that we're making in life. And I think we know from the scriptures that despair isn't the answer. Because though we cannot fathom the times, God does. God understands. And the answer to this burden and frustration that we so often feel is to have a relationship with God. God who created time. And who holds it in his hands. A God who can say, I am the Alpha and the Omega. God is saying, I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. I span all existence. Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Only God can say that. Because God transcends time. Only God can say, I was, I am, I will be. I have always been. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm from the very beginning to the end. There's nothing apart from me. Only God can say that. He transcends time. And the teacher gets it too. Back in chapter 3, verse 14, he says, I know that everything God does will endure forever. Nothing can be added to it and nothing taken from it. God does it so that men will revere Him. There it is. God set it up this way so we will revere God, so we will fear God, so we will worship God, so we will trust God, so we will look to our own selves and recognize that we cannot figure things out, that our timing is perpetually off, but we trust a God who isn't off, a God whose timing is perfect, a God who created time, a God who holds time in His hands, a God who holds our very lives in His hands. And we trust Him. We trust in the sovereignty of God. We trust in the will of God. We trust in the timing of God. And we seek to put our lives in His hands so that our lives will be under His control, because our timing is just permanently off. And we've got step one in all this is just to admit that. I'm guessing probably most of us have, but you know, James kind of gets to it in James chapter 4. You remember when he says, you know, you who say, you know, today or tomorrow, we're going to go here, we're going to do that, we're going to do business in this place, we're going to make so much, but then we're going to go do, and James just says in verse 14, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Okay? Get over yourself. You don't know what's happening tomorrow. You and I do not know what the headlines are going to be tomorrow. Internationally, we don't know what the headlines are going to be in our life tomorrow. We do not know. It is beyond our understanding and our capability to grasp. We don't know. And part of being a human being of faith is to recognize that limit that we do have and to be content with that limit and to admit our ignorance, and to humbly trust God as we navigate through these moments in our life and these decisions that we make. This doesn't mean that we stop making plans. This means that we employ spiritual wisdom and discernment, that we seek God's counsel and will, that we place all of our life into His hands. And even when we make a decision and we can't see what the two outcomes might be based on it, given the fact that we have gone to God and God is bringing us through and leading us through with His wisdom, that we trust Him and we have confidence in Him as we make that decision. When going back to when we were staying in Kenya, I can't tell you how much Ellen and I prayed about this. I mean, we had an evening where all the missionaries in town came and everybody gathered around Katie and prayed over her, and we agonized over this. This was the life of our child. We didn't know if she was going to live or die. Literally, we just didn't even know. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know how to interpret this. And we prayed, and we called out to God. And you've done this many times in your life. And as you do so, God, through maybe wise counsel you receive, or just in your reflection and the way that God's answers come back to us in our hearts and our minds, and He gives you that sense of peace, we determined that it was time to stay. It was time to stay, not to go, but to stay. And let me just say, having made a decision such as that, when we do, that doesn't mean, okay, I've made that decision, now everything's going to be great. Everything's going to turn out just like I want. You still don't know what the alternatives would be. You don't know where that road's going to take you. But you go down that road with a confidence and a trust in God that wherever that road ends up taking you, God is directing your life forward, and that you've made the decision based on your trust in God and your faith in God and seeking truly to understand God's heart as you pour out your life to Him. I know that there are folks here every week. We're making decisions like this of varying degrees of difficulty and importance in our lives. Don't make those kinds of decisions apart from God. Apart from prayer, apart from intense reflection, apart from truly poring over the principles of His Word to understand how God would lead you. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, you know, the wise man says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We start with that. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Don't think you can figure it out. Don't be so arrogant as to think you've got all things figured out. Trust God. Humble yourself before Him. Seek His will. Lean upon Him, not upon yourself. God will be with you. God will bring you through that. The last couple of years, our family, specifically Ellen and I and my sister Linda and brother-in-law Curtis, we've been in the situation of making a lot of time-sensitive decisions regarding my mom. And I know in talking with several of you over these last 2 or 3 years, how many people have been in very similar, and today are in similar situations as this. You know, you kind of have this role reversal, which is the first kind of hurdle you've got to get over, where you're making decisions for your parent rather than your parent bringing you along. You're having to relate to them in a different sort of relationship. But then you have to make decisions. How long should someone drive? Do you step in and take away the keys? Do you let somebody make a decision on their own? When it's time for somebody to move in because you feel like your parent can't live alone anymore, what do you do if your parent says, no, I don't want anybody to live with me? What do you do? Is it time to wait? Is it time to go forward? When you're making all those decisions about long-term care, about how things are going to proceed, and you are literally making life and death decisions, how do you know? How do you know what the alternatives are going to bring? And I know as we look back on that, and I've talked to some of you who've done it, I've heard the same things. You've said the same thing I was thinking. It's like, I had no idea what to do. I didn't know what time it was. And yet, it's just amazing. And why should we be amazed when things work the way the Bible teaches us that they will? But sometimes we're still amazed. When you do bring all of these things to God, truly bring them to God. Bring them before His throne. Ask Him for guidance. Look to Him. Trust His ways, not your own understanding. It is absolutely a wonder how God makes your path straight and brings you through. It doesn't mean everything is happy and glorious and fun, but God brings you through. And you look back on it and you see His direction. We find peace and purpose not in knowing the time, but in knowing the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who was and is to come. We admit our ignorance and we fear God. As the teacher will say later in chapter 12, fear Him and keep His commands. Do right. Do right by God. Follow Him. And when we make that determination, any anxiety or frustration that follows beyond that really is a result of our lack of trust. Because we do need to surrender things to God and lean upon God's wisdom in our life. As we sang just a moment ago, hold to God's unchanging hand. Time is filled with swift transition. It is always changing. Life just moves from one thing to another. But we hold on to a God who doesn't. And we hold on to a God who's not taken. He is not surprised by anything that unfolds. And He continues to love us. And He continues to call us to follow Him and to trust Him. Our times are in His hands. As we think about this biblical topic today, may we just really determine our times are in His hands. We surrender control to Him. We seek His wisdom, His discernment. We do our utmost to follow His will, not our own. And know that God will give us wisdom, that God will bring us through. And somehow God's timing works it out in ways that we don't understand. If you don't have that kind of relationship with God today, because perhaps you're outside of faith in Christ, there's one thing I think we can say with assurance, biblically speaking, as far as time is concerned. And that is, today is the time. Today is a time that God would long for you to come to Him, to accept Him, to put your faith in Him, to look to His Son, Jesus Christ, as your hope, as the forgiveness of your sins, to turn from your own attempts to make life right and the paths that that's led us all down and the sins that we've committed along the way, and to confess that Jesus is Lord and to trust in His blood for your salvation, and to be immersed in Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ, baptized, forgiven of your sins, and to step into an eternal life, a life that transcends this world, because true life is beyond the realms of this earth. True life reaches beyond this sphere into the very presence of God. To borrow a line out of the Apostle Paul from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, now is the time of God's favor. Today is the day of salvation. Today God's grace is available. Today God calls you by His grace. Today is an opportunity that you have to be right with God, a day to be reconciled with your Creator and step into eternal life, to place your life humbly in the hands of your God. And for all of us, we will always have questions about what to do. We will always have questions about the future. That is a perpetual part of being a human being. But we do not face those in fear. We're not paralyzed by the possibilities that are unknown to us. Not at all. Rather, we fear the Lord. We fear the Lord. We revere the Lord. We trust the Lord. We worship the Lord. We seek His will, not our own. We seek His understanding, humbling ourselves before Him, asking for His guidance, and then acting boldly and faithfully and decisively when we hear the word of God, because God will grant that wisdom that we need, and He will lead us through. We find our meaning in knowing Him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And the amazing thing that's in the future for us, and we know it's in the future for us because God's revealed it, is that one day time will be no more. One day all this fragmentary things that we understand, the little bits and pieces that we're trying to always put together, one day all of that will get swallowed up in our divine fellowship with God Himself. And truly time will be no more. And we will find ourselves in the presence of God who transcends that. Until that day, our times are in His hands. Confess that. Live that out. Trust Him. Worship Him. Serve Him. Obey Him. And may God be glorified as we His children truly lean upon Him and seek Him and surrender control of ourselves, surrendering our very lives to Him, knowing that He will bring things through in His time and for His purposes. And if you need to come to the God today who holds all things in His hands, we invite you to Him. Let's stand together and sing.